Morning again, everyone. You know, it is a good day outside today, considering the days we've had this past week. Kind of warm, humid. Really good day today. It's not that hot. And you would think it would be a day where the church would be packed. But that's not always the case. And we was having a conversation back there this morning about, as James was saying, it wasn't about what he was saying, but it kind of touches on that you look to get something out of the service. You got to put something into the service. Amen. You know, and when we were younger, you went to church because your mama or your dad or somebody in your family carried you to church. And some people said, oh, my mama drove me to church. You know, you were made to go to church. But then when you got older, you had that choice whether or not you wanted to go. You know, which we all have that choice whether we wanted to go. You know, and you get grown enough, you say, I'm not going today. I don't feel like it. And then next Sunday, it gets a little easier to say, I don't feel like it. And then Sunday after that, I don't feel like it. What would it be like if God woke up and said, well, he never sleeps, but you go to wake up and God said, I don't feel like it. We never think about that, you know. My topic I want to talk about today, which I don't know if it's a good topic for this lesson or not, working for the Lord. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 6. And I don't really consider myself preaching. Maybe my idea of preaching is not the same as your idea of preaching. I hope to just talk with y'all a little bit this morning for a few minutes, and you may not get nothing out of it. Maybe it's not for you to get nothing out of it. Maybe it's for you to listen, and when you talk to somebody else, you can tell them something and they'll get something out of it. And it'll be pertaining to what you heard today or some other day that you went to church. We spread the word as best we can. That's what we do as Christians. You know, try to spread the word. We do what the Lord will have us to do. How we spread it, he has a hand in it. But he always gives us what we need when we need it. And we spread it. Hopefully, others will get something out of it also. In the world in which we live today, there is chaos and turmoil all around us. Even though where we live at is in our immediate area, it may not be that much turmoil or confusion. You know, you may not hear sirens every night, gunshots every night. I have lived in places where I've heard that. So glad I don't live in those places right now. But some places you hear it quite often. People hear it so much, it don't even faze them. You know, during the night, during the day, it's turmoil going on. But some places you live in is nice and quiet, and you know, it's almost like you're at the park somewhere, you know, where they live. And that's great. That's good. You know, we have a sense of calmness for a few moments where we live. Other places in the world is bombs blowing up. They don't know whether or not they're going to make it through a day before bomb come crashing down on their building, and the sirens may be going off. Take shelter, take shelter. You never know, but some places and for some moments, it can be pretty calm. When our situations change, And it gets worse. And then we tend to call on the Lord more so than we usually do. As long as things are going good, you know, we profess that, you know, we trust in the Lord. He's going to provide for us and he's going to take care of us. But when things get really bad, you know, like, as I said, situation where bombs going off and gunshots are heard, oh, we pray a whole lot more than we usually do. We really depend on the Lord then. Only when the situations change. But as long as it's good, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I trust in God. I pray all the time. I pray a little bit more, though, when I hear sirens right around the corner from me. Or either if I'm living in an area where they're broadcasting on the news that the fire is heading this way or the flood is coming this way, and I may be on the verge of leaving, then I'm praying a little more than I usually do. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, the people of Judah have a scenario going on here where their king Uzziah did great things for them. And he provided them with a lot of things that they didn't have, good ideas. He had them in a time of peace. They were successful. They were prosperous. They had order in their life. They felt protected. They felt good. You know, it was a good time. They put their trust in him. They didn't put so much trust in God. Again, when he died, they thought about what we're gonna do now. You know, I was in a situation when I was younger. My grandfather was living. I thought the world of him. I had a grandfather, grandmother, and a mother. But when my grandfather died, I didn't know what I was going to do then. My mother was still living. My grandmother was still living. But they didn't seem to care about me as much as he did. My world was tore up. I didn't know what to do. Sometimes you might find yourself in a situation, those of you that have lost loved ones, when you lose your loved one, you wonder, what you going to do now? What's happening next? Where we're going to go from here? And we pray to God more so then than we do. We still serve God. We still want to work for the Lord. But seeing like other things come into play that takes our mind off of God for a minute, it kind of makes our faith a little shaky. And that's the case of the people in Judah at that time. And this one particular guy, Isaiah, he had those thoughts somewhat, but he had a vision. He was a priest. He had a vision in the temple, as a matter of fact. And the vision that he had, as much as I love God, I don't know what I would do if I had a vision like that. To actually see God, to be in his company. We look forward one day closer every day to going home, being with the Lord, spend eternity in his presence. What would it be like? What are we going to do? You know, as a song a lady sang, I've heard on the radio a couple of times, what would I do when I come into your presence? Will I be able to stand up? Will I be able to kneel down? Will I be able to say anything? What would I do? You ever gave that any thought? We know we're going to go to judgment. We know we're going to be judged for everything we did our whole life. We're going to come back. We know about that. Some things I'm not going to be so proud of. I still got the answer for them. Some things I will have a smile on my face about because I think I did pretty good. I'm looking forward to hearing the Lord say, well done. But yet and still, what is it going to be like? And this vision that and this vision that he paints for us, he sees the Lord sitting up so high, higher than anybody can ever imagine. His robes cover the throne. It's something that he never imagined he was going to be able to see. And he sees what the scripture describes as seraphim. Seraph is one. Seraphim is the plural. And they're flying around singing praises to the Almighty. And they are fiery, as he says. They're called the burned ones, the burning ones. They got six wings. I can't even imagine seeing an angel with two wings, and they got six. And it's, as I kind of researched it, it told about each one of the wings did something. Two of the wings that covered the face signified that even spirit beings in the presence of holiness could not look directly at God. This representation emphasizes the profound respect, reverence that we should have toward God and our prayers and our worship. Well, we have respect for God when we pray. We pray, we always pray to God, I want this, I want that, can you do this, can you do that, can you help me with it? Almost like we rubbing the proverbial bottle or the lamp like a genie. God, can you give me, can you give me, can you give me? Well, we have respect for him though, because we always pray to him when we want something. When he blesses us, as I was talking about in our Sunday school this morning, sometimes we say thank you, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're so happy, you know, we just meant to say thank you. But we still got respect for God. We bow our heads, we put our hands together, and we pray to him. We have respect for God when other people pray. We chewing chewing gum, we looking all around. Sometimes we get up and go to the bathroom. Sometimes we have our head bowed and we are really thinking about the prayer that is being said and we're into it and we feel it. But sometimes we don't get nothing out of it because he ain't praying for me, he just praying, you know. God's supreme holiness and majesty should reflect the shaping of our everyday lives in a way that draws us nearer to him. Oh yeah, we do that too. We tell other people about God. We always got that example of our own lives, so we can't get that wrong, what God did for us. A lot of times when I start talking about what God did for me, I ain't too proud about it because I know I messed up before I became a Christian. I really messed up. I did some terrible stuff. And I still got to give an account for it when I get to judgment. But the people that know that I did this, I can't hide from them because every time they see me, before they think of anything else, they're going to always think of what I did. I can't change it. It's already been done. But when they see me now, they don't see the same thing that I used to do. They're not going to ever see that anymore as long as I got something to do with it. the wings used to cover their feet signify humility. This aspect teaches us about our approach towards God, reminding us that we must be aware of our own limitations and approach Him with humility. This humbles our hearts and postures us in a way that is pleasing to Him. I try to be humble. You know, I give God all the praise. When I come to Him, I think of pictures that I've seen of movies where this guy's sitting on a throne, and you come into the throne room, and you're a long way off. And you got so far to go, almost like a country mile, so to speak, to get just to the foot of where the throne is. Got to go that far. And he's sitting up, and I try to humble myself like that, think of myself as being that small. Give Him the respect that He needs, He deserves. Sometimes I'm so urgently want to pray to God for something that I don't see that picture. I just come to God and pray straight up, like, you know, just like I'm talking to y'all right now. I don't mean no disrespect, but what I'm praying to God about then is really on my heart or on my mind, and I want Him to take care of it because it's urgent. Whether it be about somebody that's hurt or somebody else that needs some help or a situation that's beyond my control that I can't do nothing about, and I'm anxious. But I try to remember to say thank you afterward, but I forget. Finally, the two wings used for flying show readiness and willingness to serve God. This reminds us that our lives should also be characterized by serving others and glorifying God in everything that we do. This call to serve can sometimes be challenging, but it allows us to align ourselves with God's will and purpose. I remember one time saying and reflecting on, God is so great and so powerful. He doesn't need nobody, but He uses us all. When He wants to bless this person over here because their house burned down, He can bless them. But He uses me to go and help. That's how He blesses them, through me, or through you, or through somebody else. He needs us to have that kind of heart to want to help other people and not just walk by and say, oh, you broke your leg. Oh, I'm sorry. Anything I can do for you? But let me know if I can help you. And I'm sitting here drinking a cool glass of water, and I don't even offer, you want me to get you a glass of water? But if there's anything that you need, let me know. Call me, and I'll help you. Then when they do call me, oh man, I wish you had called me yesterday. I was all right yesterday, but I can't come right now. And you're supposed to be willing to help. If possible, change your plan so you can help them. That's what God wants. Because whatever you got planned, it's going to go on tomorrow, the next day, next week, whatever. But this person may need help right now. He needs you to be there. Sometimes I think about it. afterward, if I coulda, shoulda, woulda, we coming to the realization at that time, I shoulda said this. I coulda did that. I woulda, but I had to go take care of this first. If we turn that table around, somebody coulda helped you. They woulda helped you. Does it feel any different? I'm sure it does. Now back to Isaiah. His name means Yahweh is salvation. And we know of him as writing. He wrote the book that bears his name in the Old Testament. And he wrote some significant things, especially about the Messiah, 100 years before his time for he was born. And we still read about him today. As I said, he was a priest. And I'm sure he felt like he was doing his job as a priest. You know, what priests did at that particular time. And the verse of Isaiah 6, number 4 says that while he was in the temple, the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I like to look at movies, and I've seen a movie where they make the illusion that something happened, and it looked like you see the sight that you see looked like little waves come by and as if it moved, and you know, a big force was there. That's what I think about what happened when he was in that temple. He came into the presence of God, and with him being in the presence, it was so awesome, he couldn't even be in God's presence without having some protection. That's why it was all that smoke that was in there. But he could still see. The shaking of the temple's foundation symbolizes that God's holiness is so overwhelming, it affects the very structure of creation, reminding us that nothing earthly can remain unmoved in his presence. The smoke protects Isaiah from being overwhelmed while still compelling him to recognize God's majesty. Something easy, something simple. You ever been sitting in your house and this car ride past your street and all you hear is boom, 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 boom. Your window's shaking. You may even can feel the vibration in your body. Or maybe, I don't know where you live at. If you live anywhere in Petersburg, you probably have experienced it. Sometimes they were shooting, I call them cannons, out there for a picket a good while back. And you could hear that boom. You could hear it, but, you know, it was loud, but it still didn't feel nothing to shake. Or maybe you've just been at home and a storm came up and all of a sudden you hear something go boom. And you felt that. And all of a sudden it's like whatever you were doing, you stopped. You know it was thunder. But you wonder, still telling yourself, what was that? You know it was thunder. Or you see a flash of lightning, and then a few seconds later you hear that loud boom. And you feel it. You ever get that thought in your mind, great day. If that was the Lord speaking, what is it going to be like when I see him face to face? I know you didn't. I didn't think of it either until just now, but, you know. But to be in his presence, in the presence of the Lord, something awesome. And he experienced this. And he's telling us about it. getting us prepared, maybe letting us know that, you know, we should be thinking about it. Letting us, definitely telling us about how awesome this experience was, how great God is, what to expect. If you never thought about it, think about God like that. We know he's powerful, but when you think of it, you get these images in your mind. Oh, you realize, oh, he's really more powerful than I imagined. And he's also watching these seraphim administering to God, flying up and down, and they're singing, holy, holy, holy to him. Imagine that would be a humbling experience. What would it make you want to do? Upon hearing the divine revelation of God's absolute holiness and universal glory, the call to worship and humility for those who encounter him causes Isaiah to realize his unworthiness. He feels like Job felt. In Job 42:6, therefore I abhor, and some Bibles might say despise myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Job realizes that human knowledge is limited, and that questioning God, God's plans, without understanding was failing to observe the limits of what is permitted. His act of sitting on dust and ashes symbolizes mourning, humility, and sincere repentance. But before that, Job was like many of us could have been, might be. Yeah, I want to talk to God. I got something I want to ask him. Why is this happening to me? Why I'm going through this? I've been doing everything I know to do, and this happened to me. I got some questions. Yeah, let me talk to God. Oh, I want God to answer this for me. I know I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing better than this one, and a whole lot better than that one. What I did? Why is this happening to me? Every time I turn around, something ain't going right. God, can you answer this for me? I'm bold until I get in front of him. You know, all this power right here. And I get in front of him, what you want to ask me now? All of a sudden I forgot. That's the way Job felt. Or I should say, and he also felt like Peter. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's after Jesus told him, cast out in the deep and, you know, on this side of the boat. And he said, man, you know, I've been fishing out here all night. We ain't caught nothing. We fished that night because it was cooler then. Now it's daytime hot, and you're going to tell me go out here and throw the nets on this side of the boat, we're going to catch them. All right, I'm going to try it just because you said so. You ain't caught so many fish, you ain't know what to do with them. Humbling experience. Lord, I thank you for the fish. I'm so sorry. Just go. Please, don't come near me. Because I'm scared of what's going to happen to me. Now, that's what I would feel. Encountering God often brings awareness of our sinfulness, which is a necessary step towards spiritual growth. Peter's humility, confession, and subsequent calling illustrate how recognition of personal inadequacy can lead to transformation, discipleship, and a deeper relationship with God. We felt that when you decided to accept Christ, you heard the word, you believed the word, then you felt repentance because you knew you were wrong. You knew what God did for you, and you accepted it, and then you felt that. And you want to come to God, and you want to pledge your life to Him, and you want to be the best Christian you could be. Do whatever He wants you to do. Until next Sunday comes, then I ain't going today. I don't feel like it. And then the Sunday after that, I don't feel like it. Then the next Sunday, well, I would go, but I ain't been in 3-4 Sundays, and I don't want everybody talking about me. I'm going to go next Sunday, though. And then, as things happen, the next Sunday come along, and of course, the devil, he's sitting right there. Man, you ain't been in how long? You don't need to go today. One more day ain't going to hurt. You tend to not to go. Somebody call you on the phone. Come on, man, let's go do so and so and so. You say, all right. And you go and you do that. Working for the Lord. We have good intentions. We want to work for Him. We want Him to forgive us. Oh, yes. I'm forgetting something. Isaiah 6, verse 7. Because after Isaiah felt the way he did, after seeing all that, seeing God, seeing the seraphim, he wants to serve the Lord. He wants to change, but he realizes, I'm just a sinful man. I don't even deserve to be here. It says, seraphim came to him, and he laid it upon his mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The seraphim took the coal and touched his lips because Isaiah said, I got sinful lips. He didn't say he had sinful ways, although he could have. But he acknowledged the fact that he had sinful lips. Now, we studied in our Wednesday night class about sacrificing. And we learned there's a sin sacrifice, and there's a sacrifice for thanksgiving. But in order to atone for sin, we learned that it has to be a blood offering. In this case, the seraphim took the coal and touched his lips because that was what was sinful. I'm imagining that cleansed not only his lips, but also his heart. Because what came out of his mouth had to come from the heart. And it changed him all the way down to the core. In his case, he didn't have to make a blood offering because, after all, he was seeing a vision. But it was still a sacrifice made in his behalf that affected him and cleansed him from that point on. He was clean. He was in, his guilt was removed, and he was restored to his rightful relationship with God so that he would be able to serve Him not only as a priest but also as a prophet from then on. Once we make that decision to accept Christ and want to work for Him, we are cleansed after we go into the water of baptism. And then we can serve too. We become disciples. We spread the word. We live by example, and we do our best. Hence, working for the Lord. Back to working for the Lord. if we know as humanly possible, there's going to be some days that you don't feel like going to work on your human job, on your regular job, jobs you've had or do have. You don't feel like going sometimes. It's a funny thing, though. It's not a person that I ever knew of, including myself, that did not ever feel like going to work on payday. Regardless of how bad you felt, you were still glad to go to work. If you had to drag yourself in there, you was there on payday because you were looking forward to that paycheck. Of course, nowadays, they don't pay you like they used to pay. They just deposit in your bank account. But still, if you don't go there, then they're going to deduct you from the next week. But that's the thing we look forward to. But in working for the Lord, sure, it's going to be some days you don't feel like working. But you think back to all that he's done. You think back to being in God's presence. You think back to, you may think, well, he was in God's presence in the vision. Yes, he was. We be in God's presence every time we pray, every time we wake up, anywhere we go, 24/7. Never dawned on me like that. But we are. Why? Because we have to carry ourselves that way. We have to be an example to those we come in contact with, from our littlest relative to our oldest relative, to our friend across the street, to the person that we meet in the supermarket, from the bill collector, from somebody that calls you on the phone you don't even see. I've got to watch my mouth for what I say, because God sees me. The person on the phone don't see me, but I confess or I profess to be a Christian. So I can't say what I want to say when they call me on the phone telling me something I don't want to hear. I got to watch my mouth. I got to carry myself in that manner to be pleasing. I read some a few minutes ago about how it's supposed to shape my life. It's got to shape my life that way. Working for the Lord. So that's my lesson for today. That's my little talk. Hopefully it'll be something to encourage you, uplift you, help you see things a little different. I know it affected me. That means I got to work a little bit harder. I got to work a little bit stronger on them days that I don't really feel like working, especially during the time when, ring, ring, ring. Can I speak to Mr. Gulkin? Can't even pronounce my name right. Oh, we see here that you have so-and-so. No, you got the wrong person. I want you to buy this, want you to do this. Can you give me? I have to be careful of that. I have to depend on the Lord to help me with that so I don't get caught up in that. Then I got to depend on the Lord to help me to say the right thing, because I want to tell him, wait a minute now. Oh, he wants to say that. Because the devil right here telling me, you can do it, you can say it, they don't know you, you ain't gonna see them no more. But God sees it all. And I'm gonna have to give an account for that when I do stand before God. It won't be a vision, it'll be the real thing. And I gotta give him an account. And the worst part about it is, I don't hear him say the same thing my mama used to say. You know better. That was worse than any punishment I could ever get. You know better. What can I say? I did. I knew better, but I'm still guilty. I did it. Why? I wish I could use that one. The devil made me do it, but that don't work. Because you knew better. So I hope it's something that I said that will help you guys to be a little bit stronger in your faith, make you do a little bit better job in working for the Lord. Tell somebody else what to expect, how they can work for the Lord. Tell them about the plan of salvation, what God has put in place, so they will have a way to come to the Lord. Show them, be an example. And let them know up front, look, let me tell you, I ain't perfect, but I can show you what you need to go to, this word right here. Anything you don't understand, I try to help you with it. If we can't figure it out together, we'll go somewhere else. do your best to lead them, and you will have accomplished what the Lord wants you to do. May God bless you.